that I want to read to us here. And it troubled me when I read it. You think, what is this guy just preaching the news? No, I'm preaching the Bible, but it's, you know, and we'll get to it in a few weeks on Sunday nights and maybe next week or the week after as we look at Nehemiah and how they built the wall and what they did. But there's certain places that we're attacked, that Christianity is being attacked. And, you know, that's where we need to concentrate our efforts. That's where we need to look to. And this is one of those places right here. And this is, again, I've told all of us this before, but I just want to remind us and I want us to, I want to show us how we apply the Bible to this and what we need to do with this situation. But in my opinion, this is going to be, and it already is, but this is really going to be how persecution comes to America, to North America, even we could say. It's going to be through this. So I'm going to read you this article. It's a short article, and then I'm going to say a few things about it. It's dated January 20th, 2018. President Trump congratulated the Log Cabin Republicans, the largest group representing LGBT conservatives, on their 40th anniversary in a letter this week. Now, the Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we have the leader of our country who does represent all of us, whether it was Obama or whether it was Trump. It doesn't matter if you like them or not. It doesn't matter if you agree with them. They are your president. If you're an American citizen, they are your president. Okay, doesn't matter if you like them or not. And they represent us. And the leader of our country is publicly supporting something that God says is an abomination. And honestly, this sin is the sin that's right before God's judgment. Just look through the Bible. Okay? It goes hand in hand with idolatry. Okay? And you can see the sin of Sodom. It talks about idolatry and pride is right there with it. Okay? It wasn't just the sodomy. It was all this goes with it, but it leads to the sodomy because it's just an issue of pride. So, well, I can do that too. And that's just complete rejection of God when someone has gone off and done that. And it's against nature, by the way. Even if you're going to argue with someone, they say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Okay, it's against nature then. Nature tells us it's wrong. Nature tells us it's wrong. And that's what we need to tell people. We got to stop being afraid of this. Look, now we will help someone get out of this lifestyle. We want to do that. If they want it, we're going to help them. Amen. Because God can save anybody. Amen. We're not going to condone it though. We're not going to say it's okay. We're not going to condone adultery. Amen. We wouldn't condone adultery. Why would we condone this? It's all sin. It's a perversion of what God has designed. Just like adultery is a perversion of what God has designed. So in this, let me go ahead and just read this article. And I'll leave it here for you guys if you want to check it out. The picture on it is, I'll kind of show it to you. If I was thinking, I would have put it up on my computer so you could have all seen it. But this was taken almost a year ago to the day. This picture, it's President Trump holding what we know, you know. It's funny that the Sodomites picked a rainbow flag, which is God's judgment on man's wickedness. But they're holding a rainbow flag, which we know today they've hijacked that, and that represents the Sodomite movement. But it says LGBTs for truth. And President Trump held this up the day before the election, not a year to the day, that was his when he was inaugurated, but a year and a few months. It was back in November a year ago that he held this flag up. Someone in the crowd handed it to him at his last rally, and he held it up, and you know he was walking around the stage with it. And I knew a lot of guys that defended him doing that and said, oh, no, he didn't want it. I watched the whole video. I even cut the clip and put it out there for people to see it on Facebook, but what he did is he was done with it, and they say, well, he wadded it up and handed it back to the person. It's not like he wadded it up and threw it. Okay, so this is what our president believes. It's not like it's something hidden. So that's the picture that's taken right there. Okay, so here's what it says. So this letter, I send my congratulations to the Log Cabin Republicans on the celebration of your 40th anniversary, wrote President Trump in his letter to the LGBT Republican group. We are a nation founded on the undeniable truth that all of us are created equal. We are equal in the eyes of our Creator. We are equal under the law, and we are equal under our Constitution. No matter the color of our skin or our sexual orientation, we live under the same laws, salute the same great American flag, and are made in the image of the same Almighty God. As we write the next great chapter of our nation, we affirm our commitment to these fundamental truths and will work to ensure that all Americans live in a country where they feel safe and where their opportunities are limitless. The president concluded, Melania joins me in sending our best wishes during this special milestone. A picture of the letter was posted to the Log Cabin Republicans' official Twitter account on Wednesday, while Richard Grenell, now get this, President Trump's nominee for ambassador to Germany, announced on Twitter that he's waited a long time to have a GOP president with this kind of leadership. Grenell, who was nominated to be the ambassador to Germany in September of 2017, will be the highest-ranking openly gay government official in U.S. history, reporting directly to the Secretary of State if his position is confirmed by the Senate. So that's the article. Now, so President Trump writes this to the largest Republican group representing LGBT conservatives. LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. You know how many other letters they have after that? Do you know that they're already adding pedophilia to it? How much longer till he's supporting that? See, if we don't have a line that just stands firm, where do we draw the line? It can be whatever we want it to be. This is the danger we're in. This is not good for our nation. This is complete wickedness. And this is where we're at. He said, we are equal in the eyes of our Creator. We are equal under the law, and we are all equal under our Constitution. You know, we have great liberty in this nation, don't we? I thank God for the Bill of Rights. And you guys know I love that, and I praise God for all the liberties that we have. But we got here where we're at, where this is okay and this is accepted, because we have used our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Turn with me to Galatians 5:13, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You know, we'd say, this is so wicked. How can our nation have fallen to this? How can the president, I mean, some of the statements he makes are accurate. He says, we're equal in the eyes of our Creator. That's right, we are. All of us. God is no respecter of persons. We're equal under the law, and we're all equal under our Constitution. That's right, we are. We're all equal under our Constitution. You know, because our founders recognize that we're created under God. So what's the problem with it? Well, we have these liberties, and here's what has happened with the liberties that we have in this nation, and I'll explain to us why or how this happens. But Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. So again, we're talking, say people, you're called unto liberty. You have liberty. Every Christian has liberty. But get this, what he says next, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we're not to use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh to do what we want. So if you're against this, and what's happened right here is we've taken our liberties, the liberties that we have, and really you look at a lot of libertarians, and I'd agree with what a lot of libertarians say in the Libertarian Party, Libertarian Movement, whatever you want to call it, but most of them, what they end up doing is they want to go into total anarchy, and that's wrong. They want to do this right here, what this is warning about. And the principles here, yes, I get it. It's within the context of a church and our salvation, and we have liberty in Christ. I get that, but the principle still applies. That liberty can be used as an occasion for the flesh to do what we want. Well, we have liberty, we can do that. No, we have liberty, but we don't have liberty to murder someone. We have liberty. I've got my Second Amendment. Yes, but it's not liberty to kill someone. Okay, so we can't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh just because it's something that we want to do. And that's what's happened, and this is how we've gotten to where we're at right here. I mean, the article goes on to say that, you know, no matter the color of our skin, our sexual orientation, we all live under the same laws, salute the same great American flag, and are made in the image of the same Almighty God. Look at, he's using this as an excuse, like God approves of this or something. Like God approves of this. How do we get to this? How do we get to where this is accepted? to where I still know preachers who are going to defend Donald Trump. How? It doesn't matter what he does, they're going to defend it. Like, look, I can agree with things that he's done and say, man, that's good, I'm glad he did that, and not accept the man and agree with everything he says. It's okay to do that. It really is okay to do that. You don't have to follow everything that the Republican Party does. Every once in a while, the Democrat Party gets something right. I mean, it's rare, but every once in a while, they get something right. And guess what? Every once in a while, it's pretty rare too, the Republican Party gets something right. I mean, it's supposed to be the party of the conservatives. Give me a break. Man, they're spending us into oblivion just like the Democrats. They're just going 1% slower than the Democrats. We're conservative. Sure you are. Sure you are. They're all for the destruction of our nation. I'm telling you, because our debt load cannot be sustained. It cannot be sustained. And I mean, for the last 8 years, I've been looking into it. The economists, the so-called experts have been warning that, man, this bubble's about to burst soon. I mean, if we don't do something like right now, we're in big trouble. So this is where our president stands. He supports this, and he wants to usher it in and say, hey, we're all made in the image of the same Almighty God, like God approves of it or something, like God approves of sodomites and sodomite marriage. God does not approve of that. You say, how do we get to this? How do we get where this is okay? Because churches have stopped doing what they're supposed to do.
Right. Amen.
We're not doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
We have stopped believing the Bible. We've stopped preaching it. The sodomites came out of the closet and Christians went into their closet. And we're afraid to say anything. We're afraid to stand up. You're going to be called a bigot. Homophobe. I'm not afraid of them. Who says I'm afraid of them? I mean, we don't call people an adulterophobe. I mean, adultery is still, I mean, it's getting less and less, but it's still looked down upon in society. It is. You know, you come out against adultery, you're not an adulterophobe. You say, how ridiculous is that? Well, then why am I a homophobe? Because I say it's wrong and wicked, because God says it is. And nature says it is. I mean, have we lost all common sense? Yes, actually we have in our country, because we don't even know what bathroom to use. I mean, how stupid is that? How dumb is that? And now Planned Parenthood wants to start offering sex change hormones to minors. Since 2016, they've been giving it to adults. Because the abortions that they've been giving have been going down. So they're losing that money. So now we got to find another way to do it. So we're going to start letting kids have a sex change. Kids don't even know what they think. How many of you can look back to just when you were like 17, 18 years old and how dumb you were and how little you knew and you thought this way and this is a good idea. Now you grow up and you're like, man, thank God I never did that.
Yeah,
or sadly, man, I did that. How stupid was I?
Yeah,
and we're letting kids make this decision? No, we need to guide them. We need to direct them. This stupid philosophy of, what's that guy's name? Dr. Spock. You know, you just kind of let kids do what they want to do. You know, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. That's foolishness. That's like when we started to remodel this building right here, this location, we got it and they told us about it in 2012. I talked to some preachers. He said, you know what, just let that thing overgrow with weeds and everything. That way everyone, he said, go and flip the sign around because they had their sign out here. Flip the sign around and just let it overgrow with weeds. And that's exactly what I did. So everyone in this neighborhood knew this place was dead and whatever's starting here is new. But you know the amazing thing happened is no one was here guiding it and manicuring it and doing all that stuff. All these weeds did pop up. I mean, there was weeds as tall as me. They popped up all over the place. Things started falling apart. It didn't look good. The gutters were hanging off over here. I mean, when you just let it be, it doesn't go the right way. You have to be here guiding it. We had to come fix that stuff. We had to come in here and clean stuff up. We had to get rid of that musty smell that was in that other room. Just from lack of use. We had to come paint things. We had to come pull trees out. Cut all the weeds down. We had to manicure it. We had to guide it. And that's the same thing we have to do with children. So letting children do this is foolishness. That's pop psychology, which is anti-God. It's anti-Christ. It's against common sense even. But this is where we're at. This is what we allow. And our president says, oh, you know, we're all made in the image of the same Almighty God. Like God approves it. It should make us sick. What we have now, because We use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. We use the liberties we have in this nation for an occasion to the flesh. We have every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. And I want us to look at a few verses, so go with me if you would to Judges chapter 17, please. Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. It's right after the book of Joshua. There's a reason I talk about this a lot. On every hand, we're inundated with this, that it's okay, that it's accepted. It is the cool thing now to be queer. That's what it is. And I usually don't like to use the word queer, but that's what it is. It's cool to be queer. It's cool to come out, especially for young kids. I knew middle schoolers and high schoolers that are doing that. Eighth graders saying, oh, you know, I think I'm gay. And it's all had to do with the friends they were hanging out with. That's what it had to do with. This girl didn't know. She was a young girl. Picked her up on the bus. We used to bring her to church. And it was after we left that she came out with this. And she was looking for guidance, and she did not get the guidance that she needed. She did not get the care that she needed. And it broke my heart to hear about it. She was asking. She was asking. So I think I'm gay because of the people she was hanging out with. And there wasn't a Christian to stand up and say, no, 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 that's wrong. No, you're not. God didn't make you like that. God doesn't make you that way. See, something like that, it's so important we watch the friends we have. We watch the friends we have. And parents, you got to guard the friends your kids have. I mean, you got to say, no, you cannot hang out with that person. You have to do that. You have to. And you got to be strict in your own life and say, no, I'm not hanging out with that person. I will not do it. No. You have to. Judges 17:6. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. What does that talk about right there? Why would it mention that within in regard to this? Why would it mention that? Right, there's no leadership. There's no leadership. There was no one really to stand up and lead. That's why it's mentioned in it. There's no leader to guide and say, no, no, we don't go. We're not going that way. We don't do that. Now, how much worse is it for us that our leader is standing up and saying, hey, we do go that way. This is what we do. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Isn't that what we want to do? Don't tell me what I can do. Don't tell me what I can't do. This is right. Who are you to judge? Judge not. We sure about that, huh? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Look, Judges is a time of apostasy. I mean, that's really what it is. Joshua passes off the scene, and then it's just apostasy after apostasy. And God will send a judge. What does he do? He sends a leader. He sends a leader. When there was no leader, they'd go apostate. When there was no leader that wanted to follow the word of God. Now you think, well, are you talking about we need to make America Christian and everyone has to do it our way? That's not what I'm talking about. We'll get to that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'll explain to you what I'm talking about, but we need godly leadership. I will say that. Look, as we get back to the founding of our country, the Baptists were given in places. They were given, here, you know, you make your religion the state church and we'll follow that. And the Baptists rejected it. They said, that's not what we want. We don't want that. We want liberty of conscience. We can't make somebody be a Baptist. Amen. That's God's realm. We have no say-so there. We don't want that. We want liberty, but we're not going to force people to be what we are. That's wrong. We can't do that anyway. We can't. Even if people submit outwardly, it doesn't mean they are. Amen. It does not mean they are. So from here, let's go to Judges 21:25. This is the end of the book. And when you get into the later chapters of Judges, I think it's chapter 19 maybe. Oh man, the things that go on. It might be chapter 17. Yeah, it starts in chapter 17. 18, 19. I want to say it's in chapter 18. Read through Judges, the last few chapters of Judges. And you're going to see it gets pretty wicked. What happens, I mean, what they do, it's just sick. But that's what happens when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. You know, what you see happening in the book of Judges is like what we saw happen with Victoria Martins, what, a year and a half ago, that young girl that was just brutalized and cut to pieces. That's the same thing you see happening in the book of Judges. And you tell me we're not there. Look what it says, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Again, there was no king in Israel, no leadership. No leadership, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We see it again. From there, let's go to Proverbs 12:15, please. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. If you're always right, and guess what you are? Nobody's ever always right. Nobody. And if you're always right, then guess what you are? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. See, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. God says you're a fool. Go to 21:2, please. Chapter 21 and verse 2. Look, even when we know we're doing wrong, we can justify it so that we feel good about it, so that we think it's the right thing to do. Every one of us has done that. We make a way where we think, no, it's okay, and we talk ourselves into the fact that, well, it's not that bad. I'm not really doing that. So we can soothe our conscience, even though our conscience is eating at us. But here's what it says in Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. See, the Lord knows. You can lie to yourself. You can say, no, it's right. What I'm doing is right. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with my rebellion to God. But God pondereth the hearts. God knows Donald Trump's heart. He can believe that all he wants, that this is right. And I'm just standing up for that minority, those poor persecuted people that attack Christians and destroy temples and churches because we don't agree with them. You know, the cases they use that say that they're persecuted. You got Matthew Shepard. They say they beat him and killed him because he was a sodomite. That's not why they did it. It was a drug deal gone wrong. That's what it was. That's exactly what it was. It was a drug deal gone wrong. Yeah? Uh-huh. There, see? That's why he got killed. Not because he was a sodomite, but they used that to push. They have Matthew Shepard's law. You know, you got all these hate crimes. You know, it just values one person's life more than another. So we're not all equal under the Constitution, then are we, Donald? Look, I'm not for hate crimes for police either. Their life isn't more valuable than mine or yours. Man, a life is a life. We're all made in the image of God. Someone takes a life, string them up. Man, bring back public hangings. I think that'll stop a lot of crime. Hey, man, bring it back. Bring it back. Swift, too. I mean, give them one appeal. I get it, man. Wrong people are accused. I get it. Give them one appeal, but get that thing done in like 2 years. Man, clear out death row. New Mexico got rid of the death penalty. I'm hoping they bring it back. And the Bible says that's why government's appointed. A terror to evil. To evil. That's what we're to be, a terror to evil. Government's to be a terror to evil. Every man... Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Our nation has fallen to this state because Christians have stopped being salt and light. That's why it is what it is. That's why our president will stand up and say and hold up a sodomite flag like it's a good thing the day before the election when he's voted in as president of the United States. And you got preachers, because we have stopped being salt and light, preachers will defend that. I had preachers defending what he did. Baptist preachers defending what he did. Man, you can still vote for him, but don't defend it. Why would you defend that? How can we defend that? How can we defend something like that and say that we believe the Bible? We stand on the Word of God. We can't. This is why our nation's going down the way it's going down. Because we believe that politics are our Savior rather than Jesus Christ. And rather than doing things the way His Word says. And rather than guiding our lives by the principles of the Word of God. This is going to be the downfall and the destruction of America, is because we have left the principles of the Word of God. And the reason we've left them is because churches and Christians have stopped being salt and light. That's why. That's why if this nation goes down, that's the reason why. It's the Democrats. No, it's Christians. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And God still judges sin. And He will. Our only hope is a revival. That's why we're starting churches. That's the key to this thing right here, is the Great Commission. The key to this, the key to turning this around, is church planting and getting true New Testament churches started that will preach all the counsel of God like Paul did. All the counsel of God. Not just the parts people like. And that means it's going to take men willing to be able to preach things that will cause people to leave. Amen. And no preacher wants people to leave. I'm telling you right now, if he does, there's something wrong in his heart. No godly preacher wants people to leave. But a godly preacher wants to please God more than he wants to please the people sitting in the pews. And he'll do it because he loves his Lord. And that's the type of preachers we need. That's the type of churches we need. That's the type of churches we want to start. You know, we want to reach people and let the Lord use us to yank them out of this wickedness, out of the filth of this world. Go with me to Jude, please. First one to get to Jude 2, I got $100 for you. Jude chapter 2. All right, hold on now. I know some of you are already like, bam, I got it. No, let me clarify. All right, there's just Jude chapter 1. Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's what we want to do. We want the Lord to use us to save some with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Hating their filthy, wicked sin, hating our filthy, wicked sin, but reaching in and pulling them out of the fire. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to be doing. That's the type of churches we want to start. Why? So our nation can be spared. I love this country. I love America. I thank God I was born here. This last week at work, I met a 95-year-old lady who was from Lithuania. She was there for the Nazis. She was there for the communists. And she escaped out. And I said, what was it like? And she said, well, I remember when towards the end of World War II, she said, there was no food. We were starving. She was, there was nothing. We were walking, like running on foot, she said, and it was awful. It was awful. I could have spent all day talking to that lady, just hearing her just tell me, what was it like? What was it about? How was it? And she came to America years ago, and she said, but it's great here. I love it here. Amen. I thank God I've never had to go through something like that. I don't want to go through something like that. I love the freedoms we have. I love the liberty that we have. We better hold tight to that Bill of Rights. I'm telling you right now, that Bill of Rights, all of it preserves the liberties we have here, preserves the freedom. And let me just tell you, you all know where I stand, but the Second Amendment protects all the others. Without that, it's gone. I'm telling you right now, as soon as we are not allowed to have guns, it's gone. It will be gone. It will be gone. There's too much case history. You look at so many other nations, and as soon as gun control was implemented, that's when the dictators took over. And you think that same thing won't happen here? Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, is a chain to keep that beast of government bound. To say, no, that's as far as you can go, as it's trying to bite your head off. It's a beast, and our Constitution keeps it chained. We need to remember that. Let's go with me to Matthew 5:13, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. We fall into this state because Christians and churches have stopped being salt and light. Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." So if we as Christians or professing Christians are no longer salt, what does God say ought to be done with us? Come on. Cast them out. Trodden under foot. Doesn't that sound like judgment? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And here's what God says to us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, a light disperses the darkness. A light, shines on the darkness. A light exposes the darkness and says, away with that. That's evil. So how does this happen? How does this happen? Where's the light? Where's the salt? I can't defend this. I can't defend this president. I can't. I won't. I won't. He may do some good things I agree with, and I'll say, hey, good job. I'm glad he did that. Praise the Lord. I'm sure some of the Caesars did some good things too, that they were like, hey, I like that. I'm sure Paul was glad that the Caesars made it possible for Jews to become citizens. I'm glad they did that. But I don't think he agreed with Caesar when he was getting his head cut off. I don't think he would have voted for Caesar when he was getting his head cut off. I could be wrong. Let's go to Colossians 4:6. There's an admonition from the Apostle Paul. Says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt. Isn't that how we like our food? We season it with salt. You ever had too much salt on your food and you don't even want to eat it? When there's too much salt, you're like, I can't. It's too much. It's just nasty. But just a little bit, you're like, oh, that's perfect right there. That is good. It makes it good. That's how our speech ought to be. See, this is what we need to be in this world. Just a little seasoning. And honestly, I'd rather have this than not at all. But some Christians just want to like dump a truckload on people of salt and just, I'd rather have that than nothing at all. I'm just telling you, that's me. Okay? But we don't need to be like that. We just season it. Just a little dash. That's how we're to be. And we're going to get to some of the attributes of salt here in just a bit. One of those attributes is that Christians, just like salt, act as a preservative, and as light, we drive out the darkness. This is why it is so important that each and every one of us are a true disciple. Look, every one of us in this church needs to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. A sold out, crazy, Bible fanatic disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, amen. We should have gotten some more amens on that one right there. I think even some of the ladies should have said amen on that one. We ought to be sold out for God, not ashamed of Him. Disciples of Jesus Christ. Followers of Jesus. And that everybody would know it. When they'd look at you, they'd say, that person, they might not use the word disciple, but man, that person loves the Bible. They love God. They're at church all the time. They just follow Jesus. That ought to be said of everybody in here. Every single one of us that's a member of this church, that ought to be said of us. Every single one of us. Shame on us if it's not said of us. Shame on us if people don't know that we're a Christian. Shame on us if people don't know that we love God. Shame on us if people don't know that we love the Word of God. Shame on us if people don't know that we love His church. Shame on us. We all ought to be sold out disciples. As disciples, if we're disciples, then we will be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt penetrates even metal. That's why you go up north and stuff where they get a lot of rain, you go back east, where they get a lot of rain. They don't have old cars like we do out here. Man, yesterday we were out soul winning. This guy had some nice cars. He had a 58 Impala. He had two 63 Impalas. And what else did he have? Did he have another one and a 64 Impala? And they were nice. Man, I liked every one of those cars. And they were lowriders. I still like lowriders. Man, those cars look good. I like those cars. A 58. I would love to have a 58 Impala. Man, and they sound good. They sound like a car's supposed to sound. I mean, just blah, 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 blah. Not man, man, man. I'm like, what is that, man? That sounds so weak. But they were some nice cars. But you don't have cars like that. You get up north and back east. Why? Because they salt the roads, and the salt just eats away at the metal. It just rusts them out. I used to have a guy I worked with when I was doing exhaust, and he was from Minnesota. And whenever we'd get something that was rusty, and he'd be the guy to help us. He showed me, man, you get that thing red hot. If you got to take pieces of the exhaust off and on the header and stuff, they'd have these nuts, and the studs are built in. Well, they're screwed into the exhaust manifold coming off. But those things would be so rusty, and you'd put your impact wrench on it, which is just like a gun that takes them off, and it just sits there doing nothing. You're just like, tat, 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 or you snap it. So he showed me. He said, you just get your torch, and you get that thing red hot so that nut is just glowing red. I mean, you just put the torch on it, you put the heat to it till it's glowing red. It looks like it's about to melt off. And then you put your impact wrench on it and just brrr, and zzz, comes right off. Boom. He showed me all those tricks because he grew up around there. He knew all that. That's how he lived. That was where he had grown up. So he understands that salt penetrates everything, turns it to rust. You know what that does for a Christian? Salt signifies the penetrating power of the gospel. See, when we think, it's not getting through, how do you know? How do you know? Just let that salt just sit there. It's all right. Let it sit there. As we are salt and light, the gospel will penetrate even the hardest of hearts. It'll penetrate metal. Salt cleanses. Sodium chloride is still used in many cleansing agents. Disciples should have a cleansing effect in the world. So we should do. Amen. I can tell you right now in my life, I've seen that lived out. It may not always be perfect, but I've seen it lived out. In my workplace, I go there, and those guys, they, for some reason, when I get around, they just stop cussing. They'll still cuss, but I mean, they do it so much, they don't even know. But sometimes they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. It just, the dirty jokes stop when I'm around. They just do. It's not because I'm a preacher. Maybe that's part of it, but it did that before I was a preacher, when I was just a Christian. Amen. Thank God I get to be just a Christian. There's no difference. This is just how God put us in the body. Each place is needed. So it's not like I'm above any of you. You all ought to be the same thing I am, a disciple. Amen. You all ought to study the Bible as much as I do. Maybe not as much because you don't have as much time, but you ought to be students of the Word of God. You ought to crack this thing open and study it. You ought to crack this thing open and read it. That's a command to every one of us. Now, obviously, the preacher needs to know more. He needs to be sound in doctrine, but there's no excuse for any of us not to be. The disciples followed Jesus. The disciples continued in His Word. And it wasn't all preachers either. That's for every single one of us. So we ought to be that cleansing agent just as well. Salt purifies. It'll purify things. It'll preserve things. They used to put it on the meat. They didn't have refrigeration, so they'd just cover the meat in salt, and it keeps it preserved. It's a preservative. Isn't that what we want to do? We want to preserve the godly heritage that we have, the godly heritage that this nation was founded on. It was founded on biblical principles. I mean, that is how this country was founded. And we want to preserve that. I want to preserve that. I want to keep it like that. Well, what's going to do it? Compromised, watered-down Christianity? A compromised, watered-down gospel? A Christianity that's not contentious? No, we better be contentious. Amen. Jude said, we were looking at it earlier, same book, Jude 3, that he wrote these things that we would earnestly contend for the faith. Contend, that means to battle, to fight. Isn't that what we're going through in Nehemiah? Man, I'm looking forward to preaching tonight. Talking about Nehemiah and what they did, what they went through. They were fighting. They were battling. Amen. We better be ready to battle. And it's spiritual battle, and it's taxing, and it'll wear you out, and you'll be tired, and you're going to want to quit. But hey, we need to keep going as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We need to keep going, keep pounding away, not compromise, not back down. So what kind of salt do we need to be? The kind that's trodden underfoot of men and is good for nothing to be thrown out? No, none of us should desire that. Are some of us living like that right now? Is that the type of Christianity we have right now? That we're good for nothing? That we are no salt? We are no light? We're just like the darkness? That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to be a preservative. To preserve the good things of this great nation. To turn it around. You know, I've thought before, sometimes as I got saved and got into church and started hearing some things, I'd look back and I'd think, man, I wish it could be how it used to be. I wish it could be like it was back whenever. You know, back when the Great Awakening. They're having these great revivals. I wish it could be like it was, you know, in the 1800s, in the early 1900s. I wish it could be like that. You know, when church houses were packed out, I wish it could be like that. It can be again.
Amen.
Amen. It can be again. We just have to trust God and let Him give the increase. I'm not saying it will be. I don't know what God's going to do. But I know we can be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 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 That means more than just being here.
Amen.
To be faithful means you do more than just being here. This is just boot camp right here. This is just the training grounds. This is just preparation. And yes, it's for the encouragement. It's for the fellowship. It's to help each other. For what? The work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. To build this up. Why? So we can be greater salt and greater light. So we can multiply this. That's why I'm telling you, can I beg you, can I beg everybody in here, every single person from the kids on up to the adults, teenagers included, every single one of you, can I beg you to pray that God will send men here? Pray that God will send men that will answer the call to preach, that will be dedicated, that will addict themselves to the ministry, that will be willing to go out and start another lighthouse. Maybe that'll be the name of the next church. I think it just might be. We need more lighthouses to dispel the darkness. That's what's going to change this nation. Church planting. The Great Commission. That's what we need. Salt purifies, it preserves, it burns. No salt burns. I don't know why I'm dumb sometimes, but my niece came up with this thing. She said, you ought to try this. I don't know. Maybe I didn't do it. I've done some dumb stuff. But she said, you just put salt, you know, sprinkle some salt on you, and then you put ice over it. Don't do it. I'm telling you right now, it burns. It burns. It'll leave a mark. It burns. Don't do it. I shouldn't have even told you kids are going to go do that. Parents, I'm sorry. Watch your kids. Yeah. Brother Josh is going to try it. Brother Russell, don't let him do it, all right? All right, I'm sorry, parents. I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, salt does burn. How many of you have ever had a cut? You didn't even know. Maybe you got a small cut in your hand, and then you just get some salt on it, and all of a sudden you're like, man, that thing just burns, doesn't it? Salt burns. If left piled in one place, it results in sterility and barrenness. It talks in the Bible about sowing the land with salt. It's saying it's going to be barren. It'll be barren. If you want to kill anything that's growing, just start dumping salt on it. It'll kill it. It'll kill it. So we don't want to leave salt in one place. Likewise, the gospel and churches are to spread throughout the world and not congregate in one place.
Amen.
What are we going to do? We're going to burn up. It'll burn here. It'll be desolate. There's so many churches I see doing that. Look, I'm talking about even churches that go soul winning. They have no vision beyond that. Zero vision beyond that. And really, the only reason they're doing that in many cases, not every case, I can't judge the intents of every man's heart, but in many cases, they're just doing that to build their kingdom, to build this church that they're at bigger. That's like the church in Jerusalem. That's what they did. So we're just going to reach the people right here, and we're just going to build this thing bigger. We just want to reach the Jews. And God says, no, 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 that's not what I want for you. That's not what I told you to do. That's not why I empowered you. That's not why I came down on the day of Pentecost, to empower my church. So I empowered you so you could be witnesses in all the world, starting first in Jerusalem and going out from there. Churches have no vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Isn't that what we see happening? We can see these dead churches. It's dying. It's barren. There's nothing in there. There's no life. There's zero life in so many churches. Why? Because the salt's just staying right there. You're burning it up. We have to spread. We have to take the gospel out. We have to take the light out. But beyond just us sharing the gospel for this community and this area, we need to go beyond, and we need to start more churches. I'm telling you, as this thing takes off, look, we're on the very beginning of something amazing. Hey, listen up here. We're on the beginning of something very amazing right here that the Lord is about to do in this church. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not seeing really anything like this in other places. There's a few people I know doing something like this, and God's beginning to work. But we're on the beginning of something very amazing, where if we keep doing this and we stay right with God and we stay following God's plan, this is going to result in churches all over the world. All over the world, because God's not going to call every man that we're asking for to stay in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Right.
And we don't want him to. But we need to be willing to support him when he's going to go to another state, to another country. And big time, and that support means money. That's it. It's not about us right here. We need to be able to send them. To send them, to take care of them, provide for them, so that they can be out there doing that. So they can do what we're doing right here somewhere else. To be salt and light somewhere else, so we don't burn it right here, so we don't become desolate right here, while we still continue to do the same thing. We can't stop doing what we're doing. It's never comes a time when, hey, I get to retire from ministry. No!
Amen.
We're in ministry till the day we die. The retirement plan is heaven. Amen. That's it. We're sending it on ahead. We're sending our retirement ahead. Every time we drop money in that plate, every time we go soul winning, every time we sing a special, every time we invite somebody to church, every time we usher, what are we doing? All that stuff we do, all the work we do, every gospel track we give out, every time we share the gospel, all of it is sending our retirement on ahead. That's God's retirement plan right there. There is no quitting the ministry. Paul says, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, because I did that, there's a crown laid up for me. A crown in heaven. The gospel needs to go out. Salt also irritates. We talked about you get it in a cut or something, it burns, it irritates. You know, if you don't have something to get rid of it, you want to go wash your hands so you can get it out. The gospel can irritate the lost. It's supposed to. It needs to. It's through that irritation they can be cleansed and purified. It'll get them to think. It'll get them to think. That's why we can't have a watered-down gospel that doesn't offend. And look, we're not trying to offend. But if we just preach the pure gospel, it's going to offend. I'm not telling us to go out and be obnoxious and rude to people. We don't need to be like that. That's wrong. That's sinful. We need to just preach the truth to people, share it with them in love and with a kind voice, in humility, and it's going to offend them. And that's what's needed, because that gets them to think. That gets them to think. And that's what we have to do. And we have to stop following the Christendom's philosophy of sharing the gospel. It's watered down and it is no gospel. It's another gospel. It's another gospel. It's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel that Paul talks about in Romans 1:16, where he says, I'm not ashamed of that gospel, because the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the gospel we need to preach, not this watered down gospel today. It's got part of the gospel. It's another gospel. We need the full thing. If we're not giving the full gospel, what we're doing is we're just throwing out salt that's good for nothing. It's lost its savor and needs to be trodden down underfoot of men. That gospel's the result of man's philosophy right there. That's what that gospel's a result of. Man's philosophy saying, hey, we need big numbers. We can get a lot of people to pray a prayer. I did it. I'm telling you right now, I know. I know it. I know that gospel. It's another gospel. And I got a lot of people to pray prayer. A lot. More than I can count. But where are they? Where are they? They're nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. It's like salt that's lost its savor is good for nothing. And I just told a child of the dark that you're a child of the light and he's still in dark. Or she's still in dark. Salt irritates. Through that irritation, people can be cleansed and purified. Isn't that what salt does too? That's what's needed. That's what we need to do, Christians. We need to be disciples. Sold out disciples of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. There's no excuse for us not to be. And if we're not a sold out disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to start asking yourself right now, why am I not a disciple of Jesus Christ? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me that I am not a disciple of Jesus Christ? Go back to Proverbs, please. good. Proverbs 21, I believe, is what I want. Let's try 12, actually. 12:15. If we're not a sold-out disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to ask ourselves, why not and what's wrong with me? But look at this right here. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. See, a fool won't even recognize that. A fool will say, there's nothing wrong with me. If you're not a sold-out disciple of Jesus Christ and you think, I'm just fine, you're a fool. Because the fool says, hey, everything's right in my own eyes. I don't see a problem because you're a fool. You're a fool then. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he, get this, that he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You want to be wise? If you're not sold out for Jesus Christ right now, you want to be wise, then listen to what I'm telling you. And ask yourself why and what's wrong with me. Don't say, oh, I'm right in my own eyes. I'm right. Well, I don't know what he's talking about. You fool. You're a fool. Be wise and listen to the counsel from the Word of God. It's not just from me. It's from the Word of God. Be wise. Be wise. God wants you to be wise. Don't be a fool. All right, if we would now.